Is Halloween the best holiday of the year? We answer that question and more on a very special, very spooky episode of Only Stupid Answers. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Only Stupid Answers. This is the show where we answer your questions about movies, TV shows, comics, Dunes, Halloweens, sand, the whitest boy in all of the land, Space Jesus. We're going to talk about all of that today. Before we get into any of that, to do this very special, this is technically our Halloween episode. We are going to talk about Dune, but this is technically our Halloween episode. With me today is not just the incredible Roxy Stryer, who's with me every week, but also the entirety of the World Girls. The whole, if you're not, you've heard Roxy talk about them week in and week out. I'm sure you frequent their channel. Say hi to the kids at home.
That's you guys. Say hi.
Say hi.
Hello.
Hey, Whirlers. No, DJ, I've been Rox talks about you, how you're like the greatest person, and this show is
awesome. I do say that, DJ.
You really do.
Thank you.
And then when I've gotten to meet you a few times at these screenings, I'm like, this guy rocks. So thanks for having us.
That's true. And you know, Roxy doesn't really like people as much, but she loves you. No, I'm kidding.
That's kind of true.
I was going to say that surprised me, because it's like, of the two of us, you normally, I'm the cranky one.
I kind of like cranky DJ though. Like when
good.
I like when I think we're at our best, DJ, when both you and I don't love a movie, but we don't want to talk about how much we don't love the movie, so we kind of skirt around and are like, well, maybe I was in the bad mood today.
What did your Halloween discussion look like? Because the last time we saw DJ, we were talking about, was after we saw Halloween Kills.
Yeah, we just seen Halloween Kills, and Roxy admitted that she liked it. However, she shared some of my criticisms.
Yes, it was not good, and I liked it anyway. Let me go. By the way, DJ, every time that you start the show, and I don't know why I've never told you this, when you say "we are" and then "here," do you know you do it to the same tune as "we are farmers"?
I did not know that. I think it's a little vocal tick I have, I guess.
It's a banger, totally. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, for those just welcome to the show, those just listening, you can find us on iTunes. You're listening to us. I don't need to tell you where you can find us. But if you would like to see the whole show, every week we put out an hour episode, but there's the 2-hour show that we do. We record every Friday live at 10 a.m., which you can be a part of at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. If you're listening to this on iTunes, please give us a 5-star review. We need it. If you listen on Spotify, every week we're able to ask you a question. Last week was, what was your favorite reveal at DC Fandom? And Wazalewski answered, don't know if it was a reveal, but I'm excited that Young Justice Phantoms is out now. And Baltazar seconds that. He's also excited about the new Young Justice episodes. Now, Roxy, of course, you did your full DC Fandom stream with the DC movie news. Stefan Drina, did you pay attention to DC Fandom at all?
Yeah, I watched I watched a lot of it, probably like, or an hour and a half of it. I know it was 4 hours. Yeah. So I feel like that was a lot for me. Yeah. I watched all the trailers.
Yes.
And I really liked it. Like, there's a lot that DC is doing right now that I'm enjoying. I'm sure Darina saw the Harley Quinn trailer. I know she likes that show as much as I do.
Yeah. I mean, I always say this, I feel old. I don't want to watch trailers anymore because I just want to watch the thing.
Yeah.
And so, if I don't have to watch a trailer for work, I prefer not to watch it. And I actually kind of skimmed through the Batman trailer, and then they actually played it before Dune last night. So I was like, all right, I'd rather watch it on the big screen. That's fine.
And you turn to us, you're like, emo Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I hope it's more goth than emo, you know, prefer that music. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Oh
no.
It's like, I hope it's not emo Peter Parker all over again.
Oh yeah.
Unless he dances.
You want to see our bats dance in emo, yes, the Batman? Oh no,
Roxy, you don't.
Bring back
you
Prince.
Don't want that.
For some reason, I can't explain it. I don't. I do not. Nope.
So very exciting. If you want, you can go back and listen to the DC Fandom episode we did with Jay Washington. Has a really great discussion. Before we get into other stuff, update on Hellbent. The comics are being shipped to my house so that I can ship them to your houses. So that means if you have not filled out your backer kit survey, for the love of God, fucking fill that shit out, or else I won't be able to ship it to you. So it's kind of a big deal. Most of you have. There's some still holdouts, so get on that. And also, if you've moved or for any reason you'd like to update your address, you can do that up to next Friday, October 29th. That is when I will lock shipping addresses because that's when I'm going to start shipping stuff out. So
I told Steph and Dee about this. I told them about your comic that he was doing with Jaina.
Yep.
Yeah, I want so it. Rad.
That's so cool.
I'll have extra copies. Next time we hang out, I'll make sure to bring extra ones.
So awesome. I think that is so cool that you've created something like or seeing it actually. I hope it blows up.
Thank you. Right now, I just hope that it arrives. I've been having some delivery issues with the post office and stuff. And so right now, I just want
Roxy
it to arrive.
Hates the post office.
I hate the post. I have, like, that is my number one corporation. Like, Dee's trying to take down Amazon and step with Facebook. And I hate the post office.
Yeah. I just want it to work again. That's what I would like. Yeah. But you know what? Another story for another day. Just hopefully everything arrives. And then when I ship it out, it goes to where it's supposed to. Fingers crossed, whatever divine entity you serve, put in a good word for us. Finally, we're starting a new Patreon show exclusively to patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. My buddy Sal from Comic Pop and I are going through every Spider-Man movie leading up to No Way Home because it looks like every Spider-Man ever is going to be in that movie. We started with the Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man 2002. That episode's going to drop this Wednesday, only on Patreon. And that's actually going to be two episodes. Part one is going to be this week. Part two is going to be next week. And we'll do Spider-Man 2.
I'm so nervous for you, DJ, because you have the hottest Spider-Man takes that I have ever heard in my life.
Listen, like, I'm a big Spider-Man
fan. Say one.
I think,
say a hot take.
I think Spider-Man 3, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man 3, is better than every live-action Spider-Man that's come since.
But so like better than any of the Tom Holland or Andrew Garfield.
I think Tom Holland is possibly the best Spider-Man, Peter Parker Spider-Man we've ever gotten. I would argue that his movies are not Spider-Man movies, they're Iron Man movies. And so I think that they're fine, they're good. I just think Spider-Man 3, for all its flaws, and it has many, is more dedicated to the themes and the characters of Spider-Man than those movies. So in my opinion, I enjoy it more, even though it's definitely the weakest of the original Spider-Man trilogy.
Wow.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. It does not have Michael Keaton, though.
It does not. It does not. And he is great. He's very cool. So, but enough about all of that. All three of you have formed a group, a team, a super team, your own Avengers, the World Girls. For those that might not be familiar, talk about the World Girls for a minute. Where can they find your stuff? What are you doing? What's been some of the favorite stuff you've done? Because you've been doing it for 2 years?
18 months. Okay.
Yeah,
and it's felt like forever.
It seems like longer than 2 years. It's interesting. Yeah.
That was the most motherly way of answering that. Like, you know, when moms are like, "How old's your kid?" And they're like, 38 months.
Yeah,
you're like, okay, you can round.
What do I say? A year and a half? Because 18 months, that does sound strange. Like, it is our baby, so I guess
it is. I'm with it.
We get up to 24 months in saying the months, right? You get to say months for up to 2 years of having a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. We're good.
What is our elevator pitch, Dee?
And the Mexican does not know what an elevator pitch is. I think they always throw these random idioms at me and I have no idea what they're talking about. But look, we are three women who give things a whirl, literally. And that means that we try anything. And you have the Try Guys, and you have Jackass, and you have all these dudes trying things. And it's time for women to do that. And great. Also, I think the three of us are very different from each other. We have incredibly different backgrounds. We got a Jew, a Mexican. Steph is a mutt from everywhere. She's Japanese.
They found me at the dog pound.
Wow. Exactly.
You're discovered.
Yeah. So
the dog don't shop, you know? And I got into a home.
But look at her. How could you not take her home?
True.
No, yeah. It's true.
You hanging out with your Chewy shirt on is just incredible.
I'm hairy like Chewbacca because I'm a Middle Eastern Japanese. But like Dee was saying, we're all very different cultural backgrounds. So what's different from us from what we've seen before of people trying things, which is cool because we all want to try experiences, and what's better than trying with three of your favorite people on earth. But we also are super involved with our cultures and wanting to learn and respect other people's cultures because that's a cool ass experience. So we're able to tie that into what we hope to do in the future. Like I want to get these two in sumo wrestling in Japan sometime soon.
Very soon.
Very, very soon, hopefully. Now, DJ did ask what's one of the biggest or favorite things we've done. And that's hard because we have actually given quite a lot a whirl. But because it's October, we recently went to Horror Nights. So that was one of my favorite things we did because we got to hear Steph scream and run away from a wolf. So that was really fun.
Well, because Steph, you're not, from what I remember, not a big horror person.
Oh, from what DJ remembers, I leave Halloween Kills. I'm like, that was the worst experience of my life. No, I'm not a big horror person. I don't like being scared. But we made an oath to give anything a whirl. So if we 2/3 vote says we're doing it, we're doing it.
So with that in mind, has there been a moment for each of you where you're like, oh no, like this was a mistake?
Oh my gosh. Sushi.
Wait, sushi for you?
No.
Okay. It was sushi mukbang. So
we ate 100 pieces.
Oh my God.
And it was, I at one point, DJ stepped outside. Steph ran outside to vom. And I stepped outside because I was having some weird like
shake
delusion.
She was like this.
Shaking back and forth. You're not supposed to have that many pieces of sushi.
You're not.
It makes me think of those when if you go to like a steakhouse in the Midwest and like if you can eat our 50-pound steak, you get it for free and you're like, or not. Yeah. I mean, I don't have to.
Yeah. I think exactly. I think the Six Flags one where we if you didn't pass out, you weren't a world girl. We had a lot we had a fainting episode. It was 105 degrees at Six Flags. We went in like such rookies. We didn't have any of those like front of the line, nothing. And we were there for like 5 hours before we got on our first ride.
Oh,
it was
shit.
So fucking hot. I had to lay down and like nod off. Steph straight up fainted to the ground in the locker room. That was wild. So
yeah, with my eyes,
I was the
open.
Only world girl that did not faint. And we literally saw Steph's soul leave her body.
Yeah.
I'm not joking.
That was
wild. It was quite the, yeah. Yeah, I'm happy you're back, Steph. We don't know if it's actually you, but.
No, this is my tethered. I'm not me. Yeah. So you might not. Yeah, you might not be happy to realize what happens next. But yeah, everything we've done, we talk about this all the time. It's like every episode we do, we're like, that was my favorite. And then it keeps happening.
Yeah, what did we just do? Whatever we just did was my favorite episode.
Horror Nights.
No, right before that, I said
Haunted
this is my
house?
Dominoes.
Dominoes. I thought that one was sick.
Yeah.
We felt so accomplished. We made our logo DJ with 1,000 dominoes. And it was so hard. When's the last time you set up dominoes standing up? Like, have you ever made a design with dominoes?
It's been years. Decades, maybe.
What would you give a whirl with us, DJ?
What would I?
Yeah.
I'd have like, to know I'm open. What
you
I don't...
are?
You could eat weird
what
things.
Something...
We could go with somewhere weird. You could be in pain.
What's something you would want to actually like give a whirl that you've never done, and then we'd do it with you?
That's true.
There's so many things I haven't done. I would probably not want to do eat weird things. But other than that, I feel like I'm pretty open. But that's maybe not true. Who's
to
say?
Have you been skydiving?
Ooh, boy, I have not. And I would not want, I do not, I don't want to jump out of a perfectly good plane.
You'd do it if it was going down.
If it was going down, no other options. Listen, you know, you don't have any other options. What are you going to do? Skydiving. Our friend Sam is a big proponent of skydiving. And I have trouble fathoming that and bungee jumping. Like, oh my, why?
I think I've been thinking about those two lately, bungee jumping and skydiving, because I want to do something with them, like where we just push the limits further. And I thought that I would rather do bungee jumping, but I actually think I would rather skydive. Bungee jumping seems scarier to me.
I don't know if bungee jumping seems scarier to me, but it does seem like it would fuck up your back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And these two, I can't afford to have back issues.
As he said that, no, I was like, straighten up, Proc, straighten up. Yeah. Oh,
boy. These two are already...
We're already messed up. And yeah, no, it's Steph is the only one that's actually any, like, a little bit athletic and actually, like, you know, has a body that works, whereas Roxy and I are already broken. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so maybe not bungee jumping. You know what's weird? And I don't know that I would do any of them, but base jumping. Even though, so base jumping is, instead of jumping out of a plane, you jump off of like a cliff or some other high platform and you've got like a wingsuit and then you have the parachute. And even though intellectually, I know it is significantly more dangerous, looking at it, it feels like, oh, maybe I could do that. Even though I know like, well, but then you should just skydive because that's actually safer, you idiot.
Yeah.
Why is it safer?
I think because you have more time to pull your chute. Base jumping, it's literally like, you and then the ground. Like, there's not a lot of like, whereas a plane, you're way up, you've got time with chutes and all that stuff. And then, you know, you probably do training for any of them. Whereas base jumping, it's the distance between you and the ground while still high is significantly shorter.
Mm. Okay. I don't know. Bungee jumping terrifies me more than skydiving because you can actually see the ground.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Neither of those scare me. Cockroaches scare me.
Bugs I'm fine with. Classic, like, bug in the house. I'm the one that's taking care of it. But, you know.
Everyone needs a DJ in the house.
What a man. What a man, DJ.
I'm taking care
of the bugs.
It's just the way it is. So, remind everybody real quick before we go on the rest of the show, where, if they want to find your stuff, where do they go?
Well, that's important. That's something that we should add to our elevator pitch, which D is just a pitch that you could give in the length of time of an elevator. So you did it perfectly, my dude.
Yeah. Oh, sweet.
It's youtube.com/theworldgirls. We are live every Wednesday at 6 p.m., every Sunday at 7 p.m. We're also all over the social medias at The World Girls, except on Instagram, we're at World Girls WAP.
We're working on it.
But we've kind of fallen in love. We've fallen in love with the handle, but we are working on getting it at The World Girls everywhere. So find us. We are new to TikTok, and we've been kind of loving it over there.
Yeah, you guys, one of these days, somebody's going to have to explain TikTok to me. I'll give that a whirl. I'll give TikTok a whirl. This literally the safest option.
You're going to learn TikTok dances? I can, DJ, you got to learn the dances, and you got to I can't picture you being a TikToker.
But that's the point. You got to do stuff, right? That's, if I'm understanding the elevator pitch of World Girls, you got to be willing to give stuff a whirl that might not be. Get out of your comfort zone. Yeah. We actually did, when I was at SourceFed, one of the first things I did with them is they had a show called Comfort Zone, which was them getting out of their comfort zone. And they did...
Who was on it?
There's a few different ones, but Steve and Trisha went to Epic Mealtime to make a meal. And that is one of my favorite shoots that I was at on for SourceFed, and it's definitely one of my favorite edits. I think I did a very good job editing that video to pat myself.
What's Epic Mealtime?
Epic Mealtime is basically they like let's make a cake out of burgers. That's not one, but you get the idea. Like, we're basically making the biggest, most calorie filled meals possible. And they were huge back in the day. I don't know how they're doing now, but at the time we filmed there, it was a big deal.
It
was
a really fun show.
Next we are going to go into, we've all seen Dune. We all went to the big screen, saw Dune, let it filter into our eyes. But before we talk about that, we are going to cut to an ad break. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Like I said before the break, we've all seen Dune. And this is going to be our spoiler-free thoughts. If you want Roxy and my spoiler thoughts, you can check that out at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. That's where we're going to do a full spoiler breakdown. But this is spoiler-free. Roxy, let's start with you. Spoiler-free thoughts, Dune.
I loved this movie. I think that I was no matter what, I was going to be such a sucker for this film because the way that it looked, it trumps anything. I got to find a new word other than Trump. I use that way too much in my daily vocab.
And it's been kind of, it's kind of been poisoned, right? Like it works. Yeah. It's a functional word, but it's just like, I don't want to say that.
Yeah. Maybe trounces.
Trounce?
The way it looks trounces everything else. It's just so beautiful and incredible. And my sci-fi loving mind just keeps watching things and thinking like, how's that work? Well, how's this happening? And I think that they did a phenomenal job, but the performances are really solid too. So that helps a lot. And I happen to love the story despite it not being the most complete of stories. I love where they were going with it. And I'm super excited for if something comes next, what that thing is. So I kind of looked at this more like a first few chapters of a book. Mm-hmm. And that book happened to really work for me.
So, Dee, before we were doing the show, before we started recording, you mentioned that you were a big fan of it. It seemed like you'd read the book.
Yeah, so I think I'm the biggest sci-fi nerd of the group here. Like sci-fi and horror are basically my genres that I grew up with as a child. Blade Runner is my favorite movie of all time. And 2001 is up there too. So I was super excited for this movie because I think Frank Herbert's novel is such a difficult novel to adapt to screen because it's so dense, it's so metaphorical, it's not easy, you know. And so I was curious what Denis was going to come up with. I liked the David Lynch movie as a kid, right? Yeah. It was fun. Sting was half naked in it. I enjoyed it. And also, by the way, if you haven't seen the documentary Jodorowsky's Dune, it's amazing. Highly recommend if you're into that stuff. It's basic. So Alejandro Jodorowsky, I think it's Jodorowsky.
Yeah,
I
need to look it up.
I don't recognize it.
Yeah, I don't know the proper way to pronounce it.
Jodorowsky.
Name.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's a director who's, I believe, Chilean. He's South American, and he's famous for his really strange visual movies from the 70s and 80s, like The Holy Mountain.
Yeah, Holy Mountain's great. El Topo is one of my favorite movies. Yes. I love El Topo.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so I have never heard of
any of this stuff.
El Topo, in particular, it's a psychedelic. It's like an acid western, is the way I've heard it described. It's his movies are very psychedelic. Holy Mountain is even more so, and Santa Sangria, I think, is also
Sangre.
Yeah, and that's kind of like his riff on Psycho. But there really is. Yeah. There's nobody quite like his movie. There's nothing else quite like his movie. So the idea of him doing something like Dune is like really appealing.
This man made a movie.
He was going to make
a Dune movie that later became David Lynch's Dune.
Yeah.
Oh. So he was working on it in like the late 70s, early 80s, but it just never happened. And so they made a documentary about that, and it's amazing. It's got a great score and everything.
So that's like the death of Superman Lives, what happened.
Absolutely, yes.
Exactly.
Okay, okay. Exactly. Wow, I didn't know this existed. The more you know.
Yeah, now you know. Now you know. So I was curious. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of Denis. I think he's one of the most amazing directors currently working.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like the stories in his movies, he makes beautiful movies. Like, as Martin Scorsese would say, it's cinema.
Mm-hmm.
That is cinema. That is why I go to movies. I mean, I literally came out of the movie last night and I felt like Al Pacino in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I was like, what a picture. You know, I was like,
Vin Diesel, a movie.
Exactly, Steph. The movie.
Those were
exactly
the best references to describe the two of you guys.
Just to bring it back to Fast and the Furious franchise, yeah, not to play off D.
While we're talking about cinema, Fast and the Furious.
Hey, look, we enjoyed the ninth one was also cinema. Yeah. DJ,
I love my co-host so much. A movie.
No, but it's really, I mean, I was worried that the script might be a little not amazing or anything, because being such a fan of Blade Runner, I love how subtle and poetic the dialogue is. So I saw some of that last night in Dune. I wish there was a little bit more. However, I have like two complaints. It's just that, and then the fact that it is. It's weird because it's a long movie, but it went really fast for me because of the visual masterpiece that was in front of my eyes. Yeah. And the sound as well, right? Similar to like Blade Runner 2049, whatever you think of the story, it sounds and looks amazing. And so I think that they did a great job. The cast, the entire cast is fantastic. Like Rebecca Ferguson, I'm such a huge fan of her. She's so incredible in that role. And you know, I've already seen people complain on Twitter about all the things, as always. And I think that Frank Herbert made a book in a world that he built where you have cultural crises and political crises, and it's so hard to put that in just a movie, right? Which is why people have talked about making TV series or a trilogy or whatever. But I think that with what they did, I'm very content, and I want to see it again. And it's just such a beautiful visual spectacle that I think that this is hardcore sci-fi for like the sci-fi nerds. They're going to be happy because it's not in your face like every other superhero movie that we see where they explain every single plot line. They tell you the story through the visuals, and the dialogue is all about the human condition, and that is sci-fi, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know what more you could ask for.
Steph, thoughts? Spoiler-free thoughts on Dune.
Spoiler free. I think that it's stunning. It's immersive. It's cool. I just want to know more about the world. Rox and I talked about this. We left and we're like, we're going to need to see that a few more times because we're just not as smart as everybody else. Like, we don't know everything that went down, but we do know we liked what went down. I think that in terms of like the best movies in the world are standalone great movies by themselves, don't need anything else. But I think that's how we know movies to be. But I think that the industry is really shifting. And I think in a lot of ways, Dune, the more I think about it, can revolutionize the way we view movies. It's a big risk to say it's a part one, but we are like a TV culture now. I think TV is just like dunking on movies in a lot of ways. And I think it's because of the way we're viewing things now, we like more and we want more. So I think that this could be potentially one of the greatest trilogies or whatever they want to make it by the setup. So if I trust in that, it's not really a bad thing to me anymore, the more that I think about it. But I really, really enjoyed it, and I can't wait to see it like five more times.
Very cool. It's interesting you talk about the TV culture and stuff like that, because I enjoyed the movie. Like you all said, I think it's visually stunning. I think the performances are really good. I like the scale of it. I will say by the end, I was like, because I know there's been a lot of hand-wringing by Denis Villeneuve in particular about like seeing on the big screen. And by the end, I was like, I could have watched this on HBO Max. Like this felt like a pilot to me as opposed to like a movie. Like this felt like a, hey, here's the beginning of an idea. And so I couldn't help but feel like you could have told the story in 1 3-hour movie, like, because, I looked it up and, I think Fellowship of the Ring, the first of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, is about 170,000 words. Dune, the first book, is 180,000 words. So they're pretty close, and there's a lot of like, in particular, there's a lot of times where Timothy Chalamet has visions that are basically Thor's cave scene in Age of Ultron, like five times where it's like, hey, in the next movie, hey, in the next movie. And at a certain point, I was like, you could just do this. You could, instead of just telling me what's going to be in the next movie, you could just have it be in this movie. You could just do the movie.
First of all, DJ, how dare you compare this to Age of Ultron? Let's not speak of that movie.
I just function narratively, they function the same way. It's like, hey, stay tuned. And I think that was my biggest problem. This movie behaved, acted as if it was an old school Hollywood epic, but functionally, it felt like another product I'm being sold. Like we've kind of stopped, especially big studio blockbusters, we've stopped telling stories and started selling franchises. And so instead of this movie telling me a story, it's selling me on the franchise of Dune. And it's like, just tell your goddamn story. Like, don't worry about franchises. Don't worry about sequels. Don't worry. Just do tell a story.
I mean, I get your point, and I think that that's relevant to now, but I personally felt like I was watching a sci-fi movie from the 70s and 80s with new technology.
Yeah.
Right. Like I felt like 2001 is a long ass movie. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's a lot of exposition and there's not very much dialogue. And I think that a lot of audiences nowadays get sick of that. They think that movies are too long because they want everything explained to them, like plot wise, and they want shorter movies, which is fine. But to me, this is like a perfect sci-fi movie. I agree that even though it went fast for me, the latter of the movie, like the second half, there's some action sequences there that I didn't feel maybe were as necessary, but I enjoyed it because it looked so good.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like it's, if they make two movies, like if they make a sequel, I'm happy to rewatch this like in one marathon viewing versus like Lord of the Rings, which is like, you know, I have a soft spot for them when I was like younger, but you know, they just kind of walk. It's like Clerks 2.
Oh my gosh. Darina. No,
I hear what both of you guys are saying. I think that with this movie though, I can always tell when I get to the end of a movie, if I feel like they told a story with a story arc, because I either know it's going to end or I don't. If you're somebody who studies scripts at all, then if you are watching a movie and you're surprised that something ended, that's usually not a good sign, because it means that it totally missed the mark somewhere. And they never entered into the third act and it ends and you're like, what the fuck just happened here?
Mm-hmm.
For this movie, I knew the second it was going to end. And I think that was because while script-wise and plot-wise, it was not a complete story, which I don't want to give any spoilers about, but I can talk more about when we do our spoiler review, DJ. Emotionally, I felt like it was, they had a three-act structure with the...
Interesting.
And so I felt complete in the first chapters of this story, like we did have a full... We came
character like
without giving spoilers again, like I felt like we reached a point in the journey of this emotionally that made sense for us to be wrapping this up at the moment that we did.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I feel like I hear DJ's point and I actually really agree with that in a lot of ways. I'll be sitting in a theater and I'm just like, I hate the business of movies nowadays. And sometimes it's like really just disingenuous. This one felt genuine to me. Like it felt like when they sat down, like they were telling the story through the main character. And like with those flashbacks you mentioned, I kind of liked being immersed in his story. So like, if we're going to really go with this person for a journey now for a few years, if this movie hopefully gets a sequel, then I'm glad we got that.
Mm-hmm.
And while that's banking on something, I feel like that's going to ultimately pay off in a really strong, genuine way.
And what are the chances you can't bank on that? I mean, what are the chances there's not a Dune 2? I would say zero, right?
Well, I'm kind of shocked at the idea that it's even a question with all the clear money they spent on sets and cast. And it's like, why didn't you just shoot them back to bed? Like, it feels like such a fucking waste of resources to just not just shoot it back to back. What are you doing?
Yeah. This Avatar 2, 3, 4, and 5 in that bitch.
Yeah.
Oh my
god. Because especially now with the pandemic, it's like, what, are is it going to be like 3 or 4 years until 2? Like what? Anyway, the general response is also very positive on Rotten Tomatoes as of this recording. It has an 85% score with an audience score of 94%, and the critics' consensus
higher
is,
audience.
That's it is. Early, so I feel like a lot of the like really hyped people are getting in there that might level out. It might not, might stay there. Critics say Dune occasionally struggles with its unwieldy source material, but those issues are largely overshadowed by the scope and ambition of this visually thrilling adaptation. So those are our spoiler-free thoughts on Dune. Like I said earlier, if you want the full spoiler breakdown, you need to go to Patreon, gosh dang it. And that's where we will talk about that there. But right now, we're going to cut to another ad break, and then we're going to talk about Halloween because it's spooky time, everybody. Get excited. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I don't know why I did that as if it was the intro. We're back from our ad break, is what I'm trying to say. And this week, Halloween is coming up. And so let's get spooky for a second and talk about Halloween. So I want to ask you all, where are we everybody in the room, where are we on the Halloween scale? Do we love Halloween? Does anybody in here hate Halloween? Share your feelings on the season.
D.
Look, it is the most wonderful time of the year.
I don't disagree.
It is not technically my birthday, but I believe I was either conceived on Halloween night because not to overshare, but I have my period every full moon. So look, it is the happiest time of the year. I being the huge horror nerd that I am, I celebrate it starting in September because Christmas gets 2 months. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Halloween should also get 2 months.
I'm totally fine with, I personally am not a big fan of Thanksgiving. So I'm a big fan of like basically, you know, Halloween and Christmas can like chop those up and split it between them. I'm totally, because those are my two favorite holidays. I'm totally fine with that. Go for it.
I mean, look, you have the candy and the amazing music and the fall leaves and the horror movies, and you get to dress up however you want without judging anybody's sexiness or scariness. It's just a wonderful time. I got my Halloween playlist playing every day from Thriller to Bauhaus to Oingo Boingo. I'm very happy. This is the happiest I've seen these girls have ever seen me look. I'm so happy.
Wow, D, your cheeks are gonna hurt.
Yeah,
you're just going after that smile. D, watching D in Halloween month is brought, I think, Roxy and I both great joy.
She's bringing us along for the ride, DJ. Like, she not only did she take us to horror nights and hook it up with skip the entire line passes, and we went on every single ride and did the whole thing, but she took us to this thing called Delusion, which was crazy hot. Yes, Steph ran into a concussion. Yeah,
that's not good.
She's so afraid, but she's been really bringing us along, and I've always loved Halloween because I'm Jewish, so I don't get a Christmas. So like, this is my holiday season, but I love it way more after I met Dee because she makes it more fun. And yeah, she considers this her birthday month. So we've been basically celebrating her birthday all month.
Yeah. We've been going after it. I also think Halloween is a great check-in with yourself of how far you've lost your connection to your inner child. Because if you are getting to a point where you don't want to dress up or eat candy or participate in any of the festivities, you're probably getting fucking boring. You know, it's like a good mental check-in of how fun you still are. I love this holiday.
I like that. I like that that characterization of it. That's a good point. So we've
that
got
is a good point, Seth.
So we've got some questions here from the Discord. Let's just dive right into them. So Leonard Kim in the Discord is excited about the World Girls OSA crossover. And he asks, if you could give any TV show or any movie a Halloween theme, what would it be? Or what would those the TV show or movies be that you'd give a Halloween theme? But he also wants to know, random thought, do you ever think about how we waste massive amounts of pumpkins trying to carve jack-o'-lanterns? And my wife and I had she painted a pumpkin, and I decided to carve a jack-o'-lantern, and it lasted all of 2 days, and now it's falling apart. So
DJ, how long did it take you to carve from beginning to end?
Probably about an hour.
Oh my god, with the scrape out process?
Yeah. Although admittedly, I did not do as well in the scrape out process as I thought I had. I thought I did really good, and then I carved in the pumpkin and the little droopy tendrils were in there, so I was not as thorough as I thought I was.
Guys, that gives me hope.
Yeah,
that's true.
We Rob thought it took 3 hours.
No, I mean, you maybe if you're good at it, but not for me.
Did you just do like two squares and a mouth?
No, I went a little bit more ambitious. I'll send a picture. I'll send a picture. I was trying to go for like a devil, right? But like I gave it like a big mustache and then like horns and a crown. And what I fucked up on is it did have like the classic toothy pumpkin grin. But I did that last, and it was a good chunk of the pumpkin, and I was trying to carve out the mouth all in one piece, but that was very close to the mustache, which I'd already done, and so parts of it started popping off. It was very frustrating, and I think that's why it's falling apart quicker, because I kind of structurally secured it with, like, toothpicks, which was good at the time, and now that it's kind of shriveling up, that's all kind of, like, falling apart.
I'm really sorry. That sounds very frustrating.
Listen, we got a couple good pictures out of it. There was a few days out there where we're sitting there. We had one of those like electric candles in it. And that was, I was thinking less about wasting the pumpkins and more about like, wait, this little candle takes three AAA batteries? What the fuck? Like, why am I wasting so many batteries on this stupid candle?
Well, going to the wasting of the pumpkin thing, I guess if you look at this like food, then it is wasting of the pumpkins. But for some reason, even though pumpkins are in like pumpkin pie, pumpkin bread, I don't look at it as an essential to live. Mm-hmm. So I don't really think of it as wasting it, because a lot of people carve out their jack-o'-lanterns and have them for a month. Or like we did an episode for World Girls where we painted our jack-o'-lanterns or painted our pumpkins. And that's been outside. When did we do that? 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. And it's still there.
Yeah.
And they're rocking. And they look great.
So,
and you know what is wasteful? Christmas trees. You're literally cutting trees. You're killing trees to put it in your house and give them a slow, painful death until you throw them in the dumpster.
Solid point.
That's wasteful.
I will say with the painting, my wife painted a pumpkin last year, and it literally sat on our doorstep fine for almost a year. I want to say like 10 months. And then finally it fell apart, but it just sat there perfectly fine.
What?
Yeah. It's crazy. Wow. So if you let them, those painted pumpkins will probably sit on your doorsteps for a long ass time.
Let's do it. Let's have a pumpkin off.
Yeah. So I'm not worried about wasting them, but there was a lot of questions in this one about the TV show and movie with the Halloween theme.
Yeah. Yeah. If you could give like a TV show or movie, like a Halloween theme, which now that I think about the question, I've got some questions. Leonard Kim is in the chat. If we could follow up a little bit. So are you saying a show that has its own like a Halloween theme song or like a Halloween themed episode, or like if you could elaborate a little bit in the chat?
Yeah, it's the opposite yesterday, DJ, and the World Girls last night on our show gave Halloween themed things, not Halloween themes. So like we did things but in Austin Powers theme instead and read Halloween type scripts. It was very fun. So this is a nice opposite question.
It's opposite day.
Yeah.
Steve, I think it'd be fun to see like Witcher characters next season have to go to like a Halloween ball and like seeing how like that generation is like, oh, she's slutty.
Costume it. Slutty. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was thinking about there are a lot of shows, at least like my favorite shows of all time, like Buffy definitely had like a bunch of Halloween episodes, right? Yeah. Like there's a lot of shows that already did that. But we've been rewatching like the X-Files and like Battlestar Galactica because I love them both. Mm-hmm. I feel like Battlestar Galactica needed a Halloween episode for sure, because that's a very serious show.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
To cut out a little bit of the tension, because it's a great show, but it's stressful.
Mm-hmm.
But current shows, Roxy is obviously much more well-versed in the current TV.
Yeah. World. Somebody mentioned Succession earlier. I feel like that would be a wild one, because watching rich people throw parties, it like brings back the Gossip Girl days, where it's like when money's not an obstacle for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you what it is they do and people's extravagant costumes. But as Steph was doing her voice, I kind of thought about Bridgerton. Like what would a Halloween party look like on Bridgerton? When does Halloween start getting celebrated? Like I don't even know if back in the day people celebrated Halloween. Like I feel like every party they have is a masquerade party, but if instead we see them like dressed up in full-blown costumes, that'd be sick.
I don't know for sure, but I'm going to hazard a guess that we don't get like Halloween as we know it until candy companies exist. And before that, it's just like harvest festivals and stuff like that. Although,
Are you saying that there's consumerism for Halloween as well?
I'm just suggesting.
I'm going to throw that meme at you that says, oh, I see you criticize society, yet you participate in it.
Well, but at least it's candy.
I mean, what we do in. That's true. What we do in the Shadows had Halloween episodes, so that's already there. That's an entire Halloween show.
Yeah,
I love that one too.
Well, speaking of Halloween shows that I also think excelled at their Halloween episodes, early seasons of American Horror Story always had like a Halloween episode that was always like the big. It was always like a two-parter, and especially in the first two seasons, and they were always like definitely season one, it was the best episode of the season. I was going to say it was the best episode of season two, but they also had their Christmas episode with Murder Santa, and that's definitely the best episode of season two. Ian McShane is,
you know what other show had good Halloween episodes? I don't know if anyone deep watched this. South Park, Jack and Crack, which
definitely.
That is such a funny, weird idea that I don't do crack. But if I ever did, it would be in the South Park world on Jack and Crack.
Give it a whirl, world goals. Give it a whirl. We're going to give a Hard Narcotics a whirl.
Hard Narcotics.
Let's give addiction a whirl. What's the worst that could happen?
That's how we go viral. One of us dies.
Oh my God.
Honestly, I was thinking about that D when we were talking about the bungee jumping, and I was thinking, like, I really don't want to die that way. But if I did, I feel like you two would get so famous that, like, you know.
That's what I was thinking when we were talking about, like, you know, who would be the final girl in a horror movie. I was like, that's how I'd be okay with sacrificing myself if you guys went viral.
Yeah, it would go really big.
Wait, did you all do an episode where you asked yourselves which of you would be the final girl?
Everyone voted D.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was a bummer because it was hard to combat.
Yeah, it's hard to argue it.
That's the part that makes me not want to address the question. It's like, yeah. I know the answer, I guess, and that's hard.
Even DJ just asking that brought up old wounds.
Sorry. Just, yeah. So sorry.
DJ, I lost
too soon,
by
too soon.
So much. Mm-hmm. I mean, I received like just like 65% of the vote said that I would die first or something. It was really tough.
It is an interesting experiment watching, because we watched Halloween Kills around the same time I was playing the old Resident Evil 7 game, which is a horror game. And so you start thinking about what you would do in that, and I would be really bad in horror movies because light spoilers for Halloween Kills, when we meet Big John and Little John and they see like the bloody handprint and they're like, well, I guess I'm investigating. I'm like, fuck that shit. I'm out of the house. And I'm setting it on fire as I go. Like, I'm fucking out of there.
Yes. I mean, you would live then.
Yeah, I know. But then the movie would be, because we're not rooting for the people in those slasher movies. We're rooting for the killer. Come on.
Of course.
No, just in this movie, because it was a bad movie, DJ. Just in this movie, all the characters were stupid in this one movie, not in every horror movie.
The fact that I hate death. I like hate watching violence. And I was like, I'll like this movie more if all these people die.
So
halfway through we were like, get him, Michael.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I was gonna go off on off track on Halloween Kills because I still have so many fucking questions. But anyway, we got a question here from SDS2084. Worst sexy Halloween costume you've ever seen? And I like this question because I know Gizmodo does like there's a segment like every year where like, here's all the fucking weird sexy costumes. And normally, you know, the usual suspects, because what do Halloween costumes market sexy costumes to? It's women predominantly. The one this year that really shocked me was there's this sexy Buzz Lightyear costume that's basically like just like the like top part of the armor and like a thong.
I saw that.
And it was like, well, listen, that's progress is what I'm going to say to that.
Exactly, DJ. Exactly. I used to get so upset back when, like in my 20s and when I was like in college, and I would be like, how dare you dress as like sexy Elmo? You know, that's not okay. But not for the kids, but I was just like, how dare you do this to Sesame Street? And now I'm like, oh, I saw like a sexy Mr. Rogers costume. That is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the World Girls brand. So I'm like, it's fine.
We accept it.
But I'm glad that the dudes are getting naked too, though.
Listen, you got to. You got to. You know what I mean? You got to make the general male audience be able to look in costumes and be like, no, I couldn't pull that off.
And guys like don't have to have the fear of being like groped or assaulted. Like if I was a guy, this is the one time you can like wear a Speedo and like make it a costume. Hell yeah. I would be Borat in that Speedo. That would be like the best costume ever. But I saw the most ridiculous costume yesterday. I'm looking for costumes online. It's a like sexy new dress that basically looks like you're naked in it.
Yeah.
And a headband with a fucking shot, and it's the vaccine. That's what the costume is. A vaccine.
God. She showed it to me. It was really bad because it was also like extremely expensive.
Of course it is. Of course, because all that stuff is they're just trying to make money off of those people. That's all it is.
I mean, I've definitely seen some like racist sexy costumes.
Yeah.
Like there was a sexy fortune cookie. There's always like sexy Native American outfits that like people wear full blown headdresses for and things. There's I saw a sexy Donald Trump last year. I don't know if I can call that racist, but it feels it in my soul. Just feels wrong.
Yeah.
What is sexy Donald Trump? So those are some bad ones.
Like the sexy baby ones. I'm like, it's a baby.
Yeah, this is weird. This is weird.
Steph, people are into weird things. Like if people don't ever Google diaper porn. Because that's like, it's not child porn. It is just people into diaper stuff. It's really bizarre, but you know, we don't kink shame. So
no, we don't, but sometimes I want to.
I don't know why this is flashing me back to this, also back in the SourceFed days. We used to do videos that were Reddit 50/50. Have you all ever seen Reddit 50/50?
No.
Okay.
No.
So it's basically people post these links and you click on it and I think it randomizes. You'll either get something like, oh, puppy's playing, or like you'll literally see somebody die on camera. And I remember because mostly at SourceFed, I was behind the camera. I would film some of these things, edit them, and then the host would always be like, man, that was really tough. And I was like, what are you talking? It's just videos. And then I participated in one, and I literally came out of it with my heart racing because you just see some shit. You're like, oh, fuck, I wasn't meant to know such things. Like, I didn't need that. So I just throwing that out there. Maybe you could give that a whirl.
Oh,
I kind of like that.
That's a good idea.
I like that. Well, after your pitch, I'm a little bit worried, but yeah. I guess if it's worrying me, that's the good. That's good.
You'll definitely see some traumatizing things, but listen, that's such is life, right?
So yeah. We saw Halloween Kills. I'm prepared to view almost anything.
So last question, you know, on Only Stupid Answers, we love our superheroes here. The audience loves superheroes. So we got a new guy asks, what horror movie icon would make the best superhero if their morals got flipped to good? And I think this is a good question because, you know, when you watch, especially like slasher movies, in a lot of ways, if you're a superhero fan, it's like, oh, yeah, this is if there was a supervillain in the world, but like nobody out there to stop him. Like just Michael Myers gets to just kill him indiscriminately.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a fun question.
Yeah. Is there a horror movie icon that would, if you flip their morals, would make a good superhero?
Freddy Krueger. Can you imagine him showing up in Thor's dreams? Like, knock, knock, bitch. I'm going to snap you out of reality with these nails. That would be amazing.
Instead of going to Dr. Like Strange, he's hanging out with Freddy.
Yeah.
Like, he sounded more like Scary Terry from Rick and Morty stuff. That's amazing. Yeah. Hey, bitch.
Maybe
which Jigsaw? Is the parody of Freddy. That's so funny.
I feel like if Jigsaw could use his powers for good.
That's a good one.
Then he would be able to really help.
Yeah. And confuse people.
Yeah.
He'd be like, what's the game?
Yeah.
I was actually leaning towards Freddy at first, but I got to go with a Pinhead from Hellraiser. Because he's basically, he doesn't fear God, right? Like, like they're, everybody in that franchise is all powerful. And like, imagine like, you know, the torture that they would do to the bad people. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah,
I would like to see that.
The Kenobites and Pinhead are so, Steph, never watch a Hellraiser movie. If you didn't like Halloween Kills, don't ever watch a Hellraiser movie.
Oh, come on. The first one's great.
The first one is really good. It's really good, but it is like, is graphic. It is, the Hellraiser franchise is uniquely graphic in the horror movie canon. But I like, because I rewatched the original Candyman recently because of the new Candyman. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting because it's the same creator as Hellraiser. And it's just interesting how those movies kind of just operate on a different level than other like slasher, because they're not slasher movies, but like I feel like they get lumped in with that. Anyway.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's interesting. Like that's definitely one of the franchises that as a kid I was like, I don't know if I can finish watching this. And then I had to when I was more grown up. Clive Barker, man. His mind is incredible.
Yeah, he does really great stuff. But I like the idea of Pinhead as a superhero because it's definitely one of those like, fuck, man, you'd never commit a crime again. Like, well, I got to – I fuck up, I face Pinhead. I'm going straight.
Exactly. Do I look like I care what God cares? What God thinks? Come on.
I feel like I've seen a picture of Pinhead. I'm going to look him up.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah. They're doing a Hellraiser show, and they now cast a female actress to play Pinhead, which will be really interesting. But yeah, I do recommend – for horror fans, I recommend the first Hellraiser a lot. I think it's really good. But, if Halloween Kills was too much for you, it maybe avoid Hellraiser.
Yeah, I'm looking at the images. I think I'm good to go. Yeah. For the rest of my life.
Or maybe give it a whirl. Who's to say? Listen, I don't know.
I think you should.
So those are it's the spooky season. That's our Halloween chat. Before we go, before the main episode ends, remind everybody where they can find you. Roxy, we'll start with you like normal, and then we'll just go down the line where they can find you, what they should be looking out for.
Everywhere at Roxy's Dryer, and then I tell you, but you can find us at The World Girls or youtube.com/The World Girls.
Boom. Darina.
What Roxy said, please check us out. We have a lot of fun there. We're slowly growing subscribers, and we have the best community online, other than this one, of course.
I was going to say.
Other than DJ. But also, I got very lucky and in a docu-series on Shudder that's coming out called Behind the Monsters, that's literally about all of these characters that we've been talking about, Chucky, Pinhead, Freddy, yeah, etc. And I'm in this documentary with like Tony Todd and Virginia Madsen and like that's Don really Mancini. Cool. It's a dream come true. So check that out. It's coming out on Shudder next week.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really rad. And also I would just generally recommend Shudder. They've got really, if you're a horror fan, they've got really good content, and they curate it in a really cool way. So like if you're interested in checking out Giallo or any more obscure horror genres, Shudder's got you covered. And that's really fucking cool.
Giallo.
Italian horror director.
Yeah.
Horror genre. Yes. So like Suspiria.
Yes.
Like by Dario Argento, that's a Giallo movie.
Yeah. So anyway, so you check all that out, and it's amazing that you're in a documentary on there. Steph.
Just I was all over social media at Steph Sobrad, but DJ, thanks for having us on. This show's awesome. Also, your backdrop. Your whole brick wall is sick as hell.
Dude, he has, this is his studio. Like he,
holy shit. Awesome.
That's why I keep telling you I don't want to do this brick.
I mean, that looks amazing.
I know.
So good.
Like, I want to go shopping in there.
Yeah. It's all an illusion. It's all camera angles. If the camera moved an inch this way or an inch this way, the illusion is broken.
I'm in there.
Especially the Army of Darkness poster.
I love this poster. This poster still confuses me to this day. The so many weird, like there's got to, anyway, whatever. I love this poster. Cool. Well, for fans of this show, of course, if you want the full 2-hour discussion, you can check that out at patreon.com/onlystupidanswers. Again, I'm starting a new Patreon exclusive show where Sal from Comic Pop and I go through the Spider-Man movies. That's starting this week. So you can also check that out at Patreon. You can find the show everywhere that matters at Only Stupid Answers, but on Twitter.
You ain't got the vowels from stupid.
And you can find me at DJ Talks Trash. Thank you all again for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. It was great having you on. This was an incredible discussion. Everybody go check out World Girls. Go give them some love. Go follow everybody that are part of the World Girls. And thank you all for joining us this week. And we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.